Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. For questions or to discuss the issues you may be dealing with, we invite you to call right now. That number is 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. We're live on the air and online, so you can get an immediate answer to your questions or to discuss the important issues you may be facing in life right now. Again, that toll-free number is 844-322-2742. Call now. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. Before we get into our broadcast today, I want to mention a gentleman named Paul Gossard. Paul worked with Harvest House Publishers. He passed away yesterday after a long battle with cancer. Paul served as my editor on Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. I was so excited to work with him. Our first conversation, I asked him how he was doing, and he said, well, I'm going to be doing much better in a year. And then he proceeded to tell me about the fight with cancer that he was having. He worked with me for a couple of months, and then the cancer was just too much for him. So he stepped off the project, and Gene Skinner, a wonderful gentleman there at Harvest House, took up the reins at that point. But I know Harvest House, the whole family there, is grieving the loss of Paul. But I know, as I was, deeply encouraged, inspired, motivated by his incredible courage in the face of death. He was a man who knew the love of Jesus Christ, loved to help writers express that in the clearest, most possible way that they could, so that readers could actually understand and know the love of God for themselves. He was a man that lived just one day at a time, and he understood that the grace of God was sufficient at all moments. So I was deeply moved. He impacted my life, and I wanted to express our condolences to the Harvest House family and to the Gossard family as well. And I'm just so grateful that I had an opportunity to be a part of his life and that he had an opportunity to be a part of mine.
Well, he ministered in your life by exactly what he said. You know, I'm going to be doing better in a short period of time.
Yes.
Man, is that ever true?
And he is with the Lord. And,
yes,
and
right.
That's what happens. You know, we get that question all the time. What happens to us when we die? And the Bible is very clear. We're absent from the body and present with the Lord.
Right.
You know, so often we think in terms of a place. Are we going to go to a specific place? And we have imagined what that place is going to be. It's, you know, just the best beach in the world and what, you know,
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
But we're thinking in terms of that. And it's actually a person that we're going to be with. We're going to see Jesus face to face. And that's going to be the most amazing moment of our existence.
Yeah.
Is that moment we see him face to face, and to be able to stand in his presence. Paul is standing in his presence. Now I talk about my dad in the book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and how he suddenly died. And it was just such a painful experience for all of us to go through. But as we stepped back and looked at it, Dad was with the Lord.
Yes.
And he's with the Lord today. And that's our great hope. That's what motivates us to do what we do today and to live as we live today, this hope that we have in Jesus Christ. So again, our condolences to Harvest House and to the Gossard family.
Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. If you'd like to join this conversation, we encourage you to do that right now, because the lines are wide open at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Whatever's on your mind, let's talk about it right now.
Well, Bob, yesterday we had a great conversation with a lady who called at the end of the broadcast and was asking about the Ten Commandments. Are you saying that those no longer apply, that we're just changing up things? And no, that's not what the gospel story is all about. That's not what Jesus came to be about. He came to fulfill the law, not to you know, not to just undermine it or anything like that. He held it up in high regard. And as we trust Christ, we uphold the law as well. Yes. But what does that mean when we come to faith to Jesus? What is our relationship now with those Ten Commandments? Do they have a place in our lives? And as I talked yesterday, the Spirit of God who now lives in us and who guides us and who leads us, he is never going to lead us to actions that are contrary to the Ten Commandments.
Right.
He's never going to lead us to an adulterous relationship. He's never going to lead us to steal. He's never going to lead us to kill. He's never going to lead us to covet. He's going to lead us to a place of contentment, a place of rest, so that we can enjoy what we have in Jesus. That's where the Holy Spirit leads us. But there's some important things that we need to know in regards to that old covenant versus the new covenant that we live in today. So the old covenant had a priesthood. That priesthood was the Levitical priesthood. Aaron was the first high priest. Moses was a Levite. So he served as a priest of God as well. And then there were three different groups of Levites that performed different functions in the rituals and sacrificial system and all of that sort of thing. Well, when Christ came upon the scene and when he died, a new priesthood came into being. Jesus Christ became the high priest.
Right.
And so that Levitical priesthood was done away with. Now we in Christ have become a royal priesthood, and we are here to declare the praises of the one who called us out of darkness and placed us in his marvelous light. So things have changed, and the writer of Hebrews talks about things that happen when change takes place. So in verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 7, the writer had this to say: if perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it the law was given to the people, why was there still need for another priest to come, one in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron? So all along the road, all along the story of the Old Testament, there was news that there's a person coming, a different priesthood from a different tribe. They knew a little bit about that. They had no earthly idea what that was going to look like, what that would really mean.
Right.
But here the writer of Hebrews is explaining it. For when, the writer says, there is a change of the priesthood, and that's what happened when Jesus died, was buried, was raised back to life, he took on the role as high priest. So the priesthood changed. So when there is a change of the priesthood, there must also be a change of the law. Has the priesthood changed? Absolutely. Is there a high priest serving today from the bloodline of Levi? No. There is a high priest serving today from the bloodline of Judah. His name is Jesus, and he is a eternal priest. He's never going to die.
Right.
And he offered sacrifice once for all. He shed his blood one time for all sin. And now he is reigning as Lord and King. That's who this Jesus is. And with that change, there came a change of the law. So the Mosaic covenant ended with Jesus. And that's exactly what Paul wrote about in the book of Galatians. Someone was questioning, well, why the law then? Well, Paul said in Galatians 3, it was put into effect through Moses and was to happen or to last until the seed, Jesus, was to come. So it was temporary in nature. 1,500 years was its duration. But when Jesus came, he fulfilled the law, and he ushered in a brand new covenant. He's the high priest of that covenant, and we operate under a different rule of law, so to speak. It's laws that are written on our hearts by the Spirit of God. Those laws aren't the Ten Commandments. those laws were written on stone, and that's exactly where God wanted to write them. And it's not that no one knew about those laws before they were written on stone. Every culture in history has had a sense of morality,
yes.
has had a sense that of right and wrong, that adultery was not right, that murder or killing was not right, that stealing was not right. They've had a sense of that. And Paul talks about that in the book of Romans, that the Gentiles, who never had the law, yet knew it within them.
Yes,
they knew those things. So it's not like we need the Ten Commandments written on our hearts and in our minds. We need something better. We need something at a higher plane. And God's Spirit writes the laws of faith, hope, and love on our hearts. So we were under the law of sin and death. That's where that Mosaic covenant kept us, under the law of sin and death. Now through the law of the Spirit of life, we have been set free from the law of sin and death so that we can experience new life in Christ Jesus. That's what this new covenant is all about. So what is our rule of life as believers today? Or what is our rule of law as believers today? It's this new covenant that we live in today, where the laws are faith, hope, and love, the law of life, the law of liberty, the law of freedom.
Yes.
That's what we live under today. And we have to recognize that change. We have to recognize that something happened at the cross, that the old ended and the new began. The old ended, why? Because it was a ministry of condemnation and death. The new began through the resurrection of Christ because it's a ministry of life.
Right.
Today, as believers in Christ, we live in this new covenant. That's where we live. We're not in the old covenant. It had a purpose. And that purpose was fulfilled in Christ. He took our punishment for us. He became that once-for-all sacrifice so that we could experience once-for-all forgiveness and so that we could be raised to walk in the newness of life. That newness of life is a life of faith in Jesus being expressed to us through His Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's what this basic gospel is all about.
Absolutely. We hope the listener that called yesterday is listening because this is a wonderful explanation of that particular point. And friends, if you'd like to be a part of the discussion today, we encourage you to pick up that phone right now and come on in. The number is 844-322-2742. If you'd like to join this conversation, if you'd like to address a new discussion topic, why, we would love to hear from you. If you have a question, give us a call, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to New York and talk with Phil listening to us on our great affiliate, WMCA. Hi, Phil.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for all that you do. I try to tune in as often as possible because your show is fantastic. And as a matter of fact, I tuned in yesterday, and I thought that was a great question that the lady asked. And your response yesterday and today was fabulous, so thank you for that. I just have one question. I was born again a few years ago when I started reading the Bible. I was given the gift of repentance for some things I was doing in my life. And I've been reading the Bible, and I started also, doing a study in the end times. I was fascinated by that. And what really has caught my attention lately is the rapture. There are a lot of Bible scholars who feel we're knocking right on the door of that and the beginning of the tribulation period. And I'm just curious as to what you guys think, what's your understanding of the rapture, and basically who does God take? That's the question. Does He take His believers and leave the unbelievers? Does He take just the born again? I mean, what is your understanding? And obviously my concern is for my family. My wife in particular is a believer, but she's not born again. If you look at us, we're very different in our beliefs and what, that's my concern.
Well, Phil, that's a great question. And it really, as a Christian, somebody that just simply, you know, professes, gives lip service. You know, we say here in America, I think it's 80%+ of Americans self-identify as Christians. And you would look at that number and say, well, so are 80%+ of Americans born again? Well, no, that's not the case. I think many people profess to be Christians. They give lip service to it because they're not Muslims or they're not Buddhist or they're not Jewish or anything like that. So they want some affiliation, and Christian has been the affiliation of choice in America for 200+ years. But the kingdom of God is different. And Jesus said you must be born again. So when we hear that gospel message, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when we hear that gospel message and respond to it by faith, that's when new birth takes place. That's when we're born again of the Spirit. And at that moment, we are added to the body of Christ. God's Spirit adds us to the body, and we are permanent members. We're part of the role, so to speak. And God's grace is going to keep us in that favored position. So when Christ comes back to take those whom are his own, he's going to take those who are born again, the born again believers, the ones who have been made fully alive in Christ Jesus. Everybody else is still dead in their trespasses and sins. They're going to be raised up at some point down the road, and they're going to be judged. And what the judgment is going to be is that you refuse to receive Jesus, you refuse to believe, you refused the offer of life that was given to you, and so you're simply going to remain dead, and that's going to become your eternal state. That's what that judgment is going to be. So those who are going to be with Jesus, those who are going to be taken by Jesus, are those who have been born again by Jesus.
May I respond?
Yes, please do.
See, I understand that, and I agree with that. But if there's a lot of people that are believers, and they pray, and they appear to have a relationship with God, and I don't, they're not born again, though. They don't have that conviction. They don't have, like, I was changed dramatically. I was changed dramatically to the point where even cursing bothers me, and you know, I became more kind towards my family, more patient, more loving. Just in a way, I was changed dramatically. But you see a lot of people who are believers, who pray, but they're not changed like that. So what do you think about that? Are they? I know what I experienced was I was born again. I think of Christ around the clock. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. I pray more than ever. My prayer life now is about thankfulness. Where in the past I prayed occasionally and just to ask for things. And now it's about thanks and just, I'm totally different.
A radical change has taken place in your life. And I'll just read what Jesus had to say. I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to the Spirit, but the Spirit gives birth to flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So entry into God's kingdom requires new birth. New birth happens the moment we put our full weight of trust in the gospel, not just intellectual assent to the gospel as historical fact, but we actually respond to it, recognizing that Jesus died for me. Jesus was raised so that I could have life everlasting. Now, those who are giving lip service, you know, who have heard the gospel message and who are just right on the edge, the encouragement to those folks is to be reconciled, to receive Christ's life today. And don't go another day. Let today be the day that you respond to this good news. And then they can truly be born again. So it's, you know, God may be extending patience, which he does. Well, his patience will mean salvation. And so we can trust that God continues to work in people's hearts and lives very well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you both, and I love your program, and God bless you both. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. Yes, thanks for your call.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to David in Dallas, Texas, listening to us on The Word. Hi, David.
David.
Hey, how you doing? This is my first time calling in.
Well, welcome.
Yeah.
My question had to do with the New Covenant. I've been studying a lot of dispensational theology in the last couple of years. One of the questions that often comes up is, how are we a part of the new covenant if it was only promised to Israel?
Well, David, that is a good question, and I think Paul answers that for us. You know, Gentiles were never part of that old covenant. That was a covenant between God and Israel. That law was given to the people of Israel, wasn't it? So Gentiles were outside of that covenant relationship, but they were always included in God's eternal covenant. When God met with Abraham and he promised that through his seed the whole world would be blessed, he was including both Jew and Gentile. Well, this new covenant is really the fulfillment of that Abrahamic covenant. Jesus Christ was the seed that God had promised Abraham, and now through him the whole world is being blessed. So through faith in Jesus, Jews are saved. Through faith in Jesus, Gentiles are saved. And the gift of God's Spirit is given to both, and we are both included in this new covenant. For the Jew, it was a putting off of the old and putting on the new. For us as Gentiles, it was simply putting on the new covenant. Now, Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, God has made me competent as a minister of the new covenant. Well, who did Paul minister to, David? Where did he go and take this gospel message?
Primarily to Gentiles. Yes.
Primarily Gentiles. So what was he taking to the Gentile world? This new covenant. He was ministering this covenant of life within the Gentile world. We also see in the book of Ephesians, chapters 2 and 3, that we Gentiles have been made partakers of the promises of God along with the Jews. The two have now become one man in Christ Jesus. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and Ephesians 2 and 3, I think, give very clear, loud, powerful answers to that question, do Gentiles belong to the new covenant? And the answer is a resounding yes.
Yes.
Does that help, David?
Thank you.
I've always understood the... Oh, can I respond?
Yeah, we've just got a few seconds, though.
Oh, okay. I've always understood the new covenant to be fulfilled in the millennium. And so I just, you know, in this dispensation of grace, I just wondered how much of that covenant really applies. You know, if we just kind of fall under the umbrella, or if we're...
Here's the deal. Christ lives in you, right? You've received the gift of the Spirit. God's Spirit is writing his love in your heart and in your mind. You belong to God. You're one of the people of God. You know God. You've been deposited the very knowledge of God within you. And your sins have been forgiven once and for all. Those are all the promises of the new covenant, and you're living in them right now, right here, right today. Well, David, thanks for your call. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send you some more information.
Yes, indeed. And folks, please remember Basic Gospel in your giving. We're dependent upon the prayers and gifts of you, our listeners, to keep the good news of Jesus Christ on the airwaves. And something special with $15 or more as a gift this month, you'll receive a copy of Bob Christopher's brand-new book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And you can click donate on any page at basicgospel.net. Well, we are out of time. Till tomorrow, for Bob and Richard and the team, Bob Davis saying God bless you, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.